Well, today we want to continue in the sermon series that was called Celebrating Our Brethren Values. If you've been here the past few Sundays, you're aware of that. You might remember 2 weeks ago, Pastor Kevin spoke with us about the brethren value of baptism. And you probably remember that we followed that up with a baptism at Criter's Pond. Last week, if you were here, we focused on the value of celebrating love feast, and you might remember that we went over to the Family Life Center, and the deacons shared with us the details of what we actually do in a love feast service. Well, today we want to talk about the brethren value of serving. So I want to open with a little story, so that little boat that you see will make a little more sense. The story goes like this. There was an old Scotsman, and he operated a little rowboat for transporting passengers. And one day, a passenger noticed that this man had carved on one oar the word faith, and on the other oar, he'd carved the word works. So curiosity led him to ask the meaning of those oars, and the old man, who was a well-balanced Christian, was glad for the opportunity to testify, and he says, well, let me show you. So he dropped one oar, and with the other oar, called works, he started rowing, and the boat just went around in circles. So then he dropped that oar, and he began to row with the oar called faith, and the boat went around in circles, but the other direction. And then he picked up both oars and began rowing, and amazingly enough, the boat went quickly across the water. So he told his passenger, you see, that's the way it is with Christian life. Dead works without faith are useless, and faith without works is dead also. It gets you nowhere, but faith and works pulling together makes for safety, progress, and blessing. So this morning, we're going to be looking at that well-known brethren value of serving. And I'm kind of preaching to the crowd here. You guys already know all about serving. You understand the importance of serving because there's a lot of people in this congregation who faithfully serve here in the church and in our community in many different ways. So I think most of you would be in full agreement when you hear this little story telling us about the need to use both the oar of faith and the oar of works in our faith journey. But I do want to take some time to see what the Bible tells us about serving, and we're going to look at two passages of Scripture. One will be from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and the other is our Scripture for the morning, which is James 2, 14 to 19. Now, actually, there's been controversy among church leaders about the James 2 passage of Scripture. Because we kind of think sometimes that James is saying something different than what the Apostle Paul says. So in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Paul tells his readers this. He says, it's by grace that you've been saved, and it's through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. In this passage, we hear the Apostle Paul telling us that we're saved by faith, but James seems to tell us something very different. So we go to James chapter 2. If you want to look at it in your Bibles, it's James chapter 2, verse 4 to 19, and it's on page 219 in your pew Bible. So James chapter 2, verses 4 to 19. It goes like this. What good is it, my brother and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accomplished by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, well, good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. So now we have the Apostle Paul telling us that we're saved by faith in Ephesians, but we have James telling us that faith that's not accompanied by action is dead. So as I said, there's been some controversy about the book of James. Interestingly enough, Martin Luther, if you remember him, he was one of the important leaders in the Protestant Reformation. He wanted to have the book of James removed from the Bible. One of the primary teachings of Martin Luther was that salvation and consequently eternal life are not earned by good deeds. Rather, they're received only as a free gift of God's grace through the believer's faith in Jesus Christ, who's the sole redeemer from sin. That's a little quote of what Martin Luther believed. So he was not comfortable with this teaching from James, telling us that faith needs to be accompanied by action. But over the years, the Church of the Brethren has put a significant focus on this teaching from James and reminds us that we need action, serving, to accompany our faith. So how do we put these ideas together? Are we saved by faith? Or do we need to include good works along with our faith? So I want to go back to the words of the Apostle Paul that I read earlier from Ephesians 2, and I think Ed can get that up. It's about the third or fourth screen down. Yep, that's the one I want. Ephesians 2, I read it earlier. We said, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." That's what I read. Then we go to verse 10, and it's very interesting because Paul then adds these words. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Well, that gets more interesting. We look a little further at the words of Paul in this passage, and we realize that Paul wanted to remind us that we are saved by grace. Yes, we are. Just like Martin Luther was saying, yes, we are saved by grace. But once we're saved, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That is service. So in looking at the passage in this way, we realize both Paul and James had the same idea. Both Paul and James want us to understand that we need the ore of faith. Yes, that's very important. But we also need the ore of works in our lives if we want to be faithful followers. So the Church of the Brethren has placed a significant amount of time and effort in supporting and encouraging our members to seriously follow this call to serve. And over the years, the church has offered a variety of opportunities for people in our church family to serve their neighbors, both in the community here and around the world. So I want to list some ideas, and this is very intriguing. When I started looking, I was like, wow, the Church of the Brethren has done a lot to promote serving. So we're going to put up a list here. First thing on the list is mission work. Now, I never quite thought of mission work as serving, but back in the 19th century, the Church of the Brethren started overseas missions, first of all in India and China. Then they added relief work in Armenia, and then they went to Nigeria. Well, you might remember just recently, the EYN, that's the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria, celebrated their 100th anniversary of the start of them starting the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria. And those early missionaries to Nigeria, they are known for doing things like starting hospitals and schools, as well as for sharing the gospel with the people that they met in Nigeria. If you meet any of the Nigerian Church of the Brethren people, they are well-educated people because they have schools. Serving was an important part of the ministry of our early missionaries in Nigeria. So missions is the first thing that we did to serve. But there's much of other examples that I'm going to share about, things like Serve, Heifer Project, Brethren Volunteer Service, BDM. So I'm going to go on with my list a little bit. The next thing is serve. Leading up to and during World War II, the Church of the Brethren was really active in organizing nonviolent ways to reach out to our neighbors around the world. And one of the largest programs that emerged from this was called, here's the big words for serve, Sales Exchange for Refugee Rehabilitation Vocations. That's what those letters mean. The program began in 1949 and 1950 when Brethren Service Commission workers brought home handicrafts that they wanted to sell in the United States with the money going back to assist their refugee friends. They put some of those items that were for sale in the New Windsor Service Center, and the effort was publicized through Church World Service to other denominations, and it just took off and grew by leaps and bounds. And I think many of us are familiar with Serve. You may have shopped in some of their stores like 10,000 Villages and stuff. So Serve has been a great opportunity to help serve other people. Another thing we're very well familiar with is Crop Hunger Walk. We all know about that. Many of us have participated in October in this area. Interesting enough, the Church of the Brethren was an important part of organizing this ministry along with Church World Service. The program was originally known as Christian Rural Overseas Program because originally the program involved the mass collection and shipment of food from American farmers to the world's hungry. The program began in 1947, and it was the Brethren, the Mennonites, and members of the Evangelical and Reformed Church who were part of getting it organized. And what they did, for the first thing they did, they organized 50 train car loads of flour that were collected and sent to the Netherlands. That was like the very first thing they did. The other interesting trivia thing is that a member of the Church of the Brethren, John D. Metzler Sr., was the first executive of CROP. So the Church of the Brethren has been deeply involved in CROP hunger walks. And I think you've heard this. 1980 was the year that the first local Solanco CROP hunger walk took place. And we've been active in it right from the beginning. So our congregation has always been involved here locally in CROP Hunger Walk. And we recently got one of the Cream of the Crop Awards from Church World Service, because thank you to this congregation for all you do. Another way, and there's more ways. It's amazing the ways the Church of the Brethren has called us to serve. Brethren Volunteer Service, BVS. It's another beloved service organization in our denomination. BVS was founded in 1948 by youth, actually, young people in the Church of the Brethren, and they were committed to peace and justice and service. So the program was created in response to all that devastation that was caused by World War II, and it was designed to provide opportunities for young people to serve and make a positive difference in the world. Typically, the program initially focused on young people who volunteer for 1 or 2 year commitments. But recently, there's been a lot of older people who begin to join BVS. They retire, and they spend 1 or 2 years serving in BVS. So you're never too old to be a part of BVS. Typical projects include serving in hospitals, hospices, retirement homes, childcare programs, inner city work. There's been BVSers who serve overseas as workers in refugee, relief, educational, and peacemaking programs. Now, here's a detail. We have several from this congregation who served with BVS, and I may not have an exhaustive list. I just asked around. I learned that two brothers of Ralph Kreider, Ken and Robert Kreider, served with BVS in a refugee program in Sardinia, Italy. This was back in the 1960s, like 50 years ago. Peggy Rasmussen served for 2.5 years. This was in the 80s. She served in Ecuador. And Holly Kreider, the daughter of Ralph Kreider, served with BVS in England before she chose to settle down in England to make it her home. And most recently, Rachel Kreider has told us that she graduated from Messiah, and she has made a commitment to serve with BVS in the FaithX Work Camp office, which is in our denominational headquarters in Elgin, and that is through BVS. So she is our most recent BVS volunteer in this congregation. So I think we get volunteering, we get serving. I have a couple more ways in which the Church of the Brethren has served, has been active in service. One of those is called Heifer Project International. We might have heard that. It began with a vision from a man named Dan West, who was a Church of the Brethren member that was born in Western Ohio in 1893. My little personal part is that my dad in Western Ohio knew Dan West, and he would talk about him as being a very inspirational and visionary person. Dan served as a relief worker in Spain during the Spanish Civil War in 1937 and 38, and he realized that giving people food was a really short-term solution. So he had the idea that we should give people their own animals, like heifers, so they would have a steady supply of nutritious food to feed them. So he was able to convince farmers that he knew in northern Indiana to begin raising calves to ship abroad. In 1943, that was during World War II, he organized this effort. He called it Heifer Project. And then after the war, Heifer Project cooperated with the United Nations to send cattle and horses to Europe. Now, here's an interesting piece of that. Many Brethren young men who were called seagoing cowboys were called to serve as attendants on these ships as these much-needed animals were shipped with those in need in Europe. And they needed to be farmers who understood animals. So, locally, I was told Clyde Kreider, who's the father of Ralph Kreider, served as a seagoing cowboy in the early in the 1940s. I was also told that Alan Kreider, the father of Scott and Lou Kreider and Peggy Osborne, also served as a seagoing cowboy as well. That's an interesting little detail how our church has been involved in serving in that way. And of course, I leave probably the one we know best for last. That is BDM, Brethren Disaster Ministries. We've been sending people to serve for a week at various work sites hosted by BDM for many years. In fact, I can look around and probably get a lot of hands saying I've served at least 1 year. The program was originally part of the Brethren Service Commission that was organized in 1941 during World War II, but many of you might remember Hurricane Agnes in this area. I'm told that in the 1970s, after the terrible flooding took place here from Hurricane Agnes, the denomination organized a formal disaster response network that they organized it among the different districts in the Church of the Brethren, and they called it Brethren Disaster Ministries. And then in 1979, BDM expanded and they included an organization called Children's Disaster Services. That's where volunteers care for children and families that have been affected by disasters like floods and hurricanes and tornadoes. And I think you may be aware Connie Root has served recent years with Children's Disaster Services. She's called on almost a moment's notice to fly away to wherever she's needed and spend a few weeks working with children. This year, our congregation has agreed to send volunteers to BDM to work the week of November 9th to 16th. And my understanding is I think we need a few more volunteers. So if you want to volunteer, talk to Rick and Amy Graver because we're looking for more volunteers. It's a way to serve. Okay, so as I was working on this sermon, I spent some time asking other people in our congregation, how do they serve? Do you have any ideas how else does people serve? I learned that Darlene Kreider worked with MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, in Dixville, Quebec, in Canada in the 1970s. In a facility that cared for mentally challenged people, and Herb and Darlene's daughter, Andrea, also served with MCC in the 1990s. She was in Holland. She spent part of that year serving in a conference center. And if we want to go back in time, Marcia Kaufman spent some time serving under the leadership of the Church of the Brethren as a teacher in Nigeria. That was back in the 1960s, 66 to 69. So as I mentioned at the beginning, serving is an important brethren value that's important to many in our own congregation as well. The Church of the Brethren firmly believes we have to row with both the oar of faith and the oar of service, and we've seen that here, right here in our own congregation. So I'm preaching to people who probably are firmly agreement to what I'm talking about. But I do want to talk now about you and me. If the Church of the Brethren has put an emphasis on service, what does that mean to me? I would like to suggest that serving others as God calls us to serve is not optional. It's not something you do in your spare time if you have it. I think we all need both the oar of faith and we need the oar of works in our faith journey. As I said, James reminds us that faith without works is dead. And the Apostle Paul also reminds us in Ephesians 2:10, here's the words right from there. It says, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're created to do good works. We need to be active in doing good works if we want to have an active and growing faith. Think of this. Think about a car. It's a nice car, but it needs gas to get you where you want to go. Or think about a light bulb. It needs electricity to be useful. A car without gas isn't useful. A light bulb without electric is not useful. In the same way, God tells us through James, there's something that needs to be added to our faith if we want our faith to be energized and powerful and effective. Both James and the Apostle Paul remind us of this. If our faith is not accompanied by works, then our faith is, according to James, dead and utterly useless. God has prepared us to do good works. So if we want to be people who are growing in our faith, serving others in whatever way God calls you to serve is an important part of our ongoing journey of faith. Serving others is something we need to do in the same way that we do prayer and scripture reading and worship. Those are important parts of our faith journey, but serving is part of it as well. If we want to be people who are growing daily in our faith, we want to be people who place a value on serving. And I want to add one more little challenge because I think most of us are on page with this. We get serving. But here's a little challenge. I'm going to up it a little bit. Both James and Paul have reminded us of the importance of serving, but I want to remind us of the value of serving quietly. People who serve others in a quiet and behind-the-scenes way can often find themselves blessed. They'll be blessed for serving, but in addition, they'll be blessed for serving in a way that's not noticed. One of my favorite writers is Richard Foster. He wrote the well-known classic book, you may have heard of it, Celebration of Discipline. In that book, he identified service as an important spiritual discipline. And he says this about the importance of service as a spiritual discipline. I think we can put that on the wall. He says, nothing disciplines the inordinate desires of the flesh like service, and nothing transforms the desires of the flesh like serving in hiddenness. The flesh whines against service, but it screams against hidden service. It strains and pulls for honor and recognition. It will devise subtle, religiously acceptable means to call attention to the service rendered. Richard Foster is reminding us that serving quietly, behind the scenes, is one of the important ways that we allow a place in our spiritual lives for the Holy Spirit to grow in us. Christians who place a value on quietly serving others will find themselves quietly growing closer to God in their spiritual walk. Many people, I think, are happy to serve in ways that call attention to themselves. That's what Richard Foster is saying. And that's good. I mean, we need to serve. That is good. Go ahead and serve in ways that you get seen. That's okay. But serving others in quiet ways, behind the scenes, that's kind of a stretch for some of us. But it's one of the quiet ways of serving. It's in that way that the Holy Spirit can probably do his best work in our lives. Quietly serving behind the scenes. So I want to challenge each of us who are here today to look at our lives. We want to ask God to show us what kind of service he's calling us to do. He's calling us to use both the oar of faith and the oar of works in our spiritual journey. And I'm thinking examples. We might be called to serve here in the congregation by teaching Sunday school, maybe by working with children or youth. I know there's always a need for help in the nursery. That's called serving. We might be called to serve quietly behind the scenes, for example, by providing transportation for someone to get to worship. We might be called to serve in the church kitchen. That's kind of a behind-the-scenes place. You might be called to serve in the community by maybe helping with Solanco Neighborhood Ministries or another community service opportunity. Any way we do it, we serve Jesus and we grow in our spiritual journey when we serve people. I want to close with one last illustration. Think about this. There was a wealthy American traveler. He visited a hospital in Southeast Asia, and he happened to walk in the room just as a young missionary nurse was cleaning the sores of a sick, dirty, elderly man who'd been found lying in the gutter. So just picture this. And the rich man watched the nurse as she lovingly and kindly cleaned his sores, sort of got him well cared for. And the rich man looked at the nurse and said, "Oh my, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And she answered, "Well, neither would I." She didn't do it for the money. Money could not buy her extravagant devotion to Jesus. Her life of serving was broken and spilled out just for the love of Jesus. So my question for all of us today is this. How is God calling you to serve? What does your oar of works look like? Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can be here today. We thank you we can gather to worship. Father, we love you. We love to worship you. We love to pray. We love to read scriptures. But Father, we also want to be sure that we are involved in serving in ways that bring honor to you. So Father, give us ideas, give us direction so that we can all be servants serving you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.